Hare Krishna to everybody out there at ISKCON Bergen County. I'm so happy to be back again to your forum. I hope all of you are doing well, healthy and safe and enthusiastic in your Krishna consciousness. So out here in India, everything was fine, but now the third wave is picking up and we're just hearing cases after cases. But the good news among all the bad news is that it's mild and everybody's recovering in 3 to 4 days. But yes, the numbers are increasing. So that's with India and specifically South India and the place where I stay. So before I begin the session today, I'd like to pay my humble obeisances to all the devotees out there in the forum. Vancha kalpataru bhayascha kripa sindhu bhayavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha anant koti vaishnav vrind ki jai. Shishi Radha Damodar Bhagavan ki jai. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shishi Gonitai ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON Vartaman Guru Vrind ki jai. Solne Zebatak Swami Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much. So at any point of time, if my volume is not proper, do signal me. I'm looking at all of you. So as Prabhuji said, today's topic is interesting and suggested by all of you. Upgrade your attitude. So I thought we'll start with this verse in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna also talks about upgrading our attitude, from chapter 6, text number 5. Uddharet atmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet atmevahi atmano bandhur atmeva ripuratmanam. So here Krishna says one must deliver himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. You see, Krishna is also talking about upgrading our attitude. He said, don't degrade yourself. You should upgrade your mind, because mind can be your friend or mind can be your enemy. Attitude means what? Your thinking. Where does the thought comes from? Mind. So what we are actually talking about is mind. And mind is very important, because there are three things actually we are dealing with. One is ourself, the spirit soul, and one is this gross body. And the interface between this gross body and the self is the mind, the subtle body. Now it's very important, the mind is very important, because the self, that is the soul, interacts with the gross body and interacts with the outside world through this mind. So if this mind is not upgraded, and if it is defective, we'll have an issue there. In the Katha Upanishad 1.3.3, verse 3 and 4 gives a very good example, that imagine there is this chariot, and then there's this chariot driver. The chariot driver is the intelligence, and the reins by which the horses are controlled is the mind, and the senses are the horses, and the self is the passenger who is sitting there in the chariot. Now imagine if the reins are defective, then how can we control the horses? And then the whole chariot will go highway. So just like we upgrade our phones, smartphones, and we upgrade the gadgets that we use, we upgrade everything around us, we need to upgrade our mind. And it's the most important thing, because any defect in the mind will completely dislodge us. In fact, the modern world is not giving so much importance to the mind as much as the importance it gives to the body. You see the example of what is exactly going on right now, the corona virus. So everybody is worried about the physical body, but just the other day somebody sent me very interesting statistics of the year 2021, and I was surprised to see they said more people died in suicide than the virus killed them. In fact, the statistics said 28 times more people die by suicide than by cancer, by other different diseases, and by the virus. But nobody is talking about the mind. Why does somebody commit suicide? Of course, they said millions of people try. Only 1 million succeed every year to commit suicide. Now, why does somebody do something like that? That means mind is not healthy. That means mind is not stable. But there are hardly people studying about mind. In fact, we have so many branches to study the physical body, different limbs of the body, but how many branches do we have to study about the mind? That means people are not giving so much importance to the mind. They're not able to understand the value of a healthy mind or a stable mind. So unless and until somebody has it, and why do you think people are not giving importance to the mind? One simple reason is probably because it's not visible. Physical body is visible, so we give importance to it. But mind is invisible, so people are ignoring it. But in life, sometimes the invisible things are more important than the visible things. Just like you see a building. The foundation of the building is not visible, but that's the most important thing of the building. If something wrong with the foundation, the whole beautiful building is going to collapse. We can't see the air, but it's the most important thing for our survival. We can't see emotions, joy or sorrow or hatred, but that's the most important thing which drives the mind. We can't see gravity, but that's the one which is keeping all the planets in the solar system at the right places. So many times in life, there are so many things which may be invisible, but they are more important than the visible things. So we really need to work on the mind. And the modern science has not even able to scratch the surface of the mind. I'll tell you, even you know, beauty about our Vedic culture, even uneducated person also understands that there is something called mind and what important role the mind plays. I'll tell you. Mind gets lots of thoughts. Intelligence discriminates which thought to be accepted, to be acted upon, which to be given up. And then the ego identifies, okay, I'll do it. You know, this three stages happen. Now, so many thoughts come, but you don't act on every thought. So those who act on every thought, they are called unintelligent people. That means, you know, in Hindi, normally even villagers will say like that. If somebody acts crazily, just about does anything, they'll say, buddhi nahi hai, this guy does not have buddhi. Buddhi ledu, in Telugu they say. Hindi they'll say, iska buddhi nahi hai. Now who told them that there is something called buddhi, there is something called man, there is something called ahankar? Then naturally people know it. Even an uneducated person also understands that so many thoughts come in the mind, but you don't act upon every thought. With intelligence you discriminate. And if you don't discriminate, that means you're not having intelligence. So they'll ask, you're a fool or what? You don't have intelligence? Why did you do like this? Somebody may say, I don't know, just that thought came and at just moment I acted. And then somebody will correct, why did you do that? Don't you have intelligence? That means everybody understands there is mind, there is intelligence, there is ego. Even they have not read Bhagavad Gita or they have not read scriptures, but it's natural that there is something called intelligence, there is something called mind, there is something called ego. But we're not studying about it. We don't talk about it. But Gita talks about it. Our scriptures talk about it. Stability of mind. It is so important. I'm just reminded. Now, let me give you one example to prove how stability of mind is important. Let's say you have an issue with your heart. Okay, and you come and tell me, Mataji, can you suggest the best cardiac surgeon in Vishakhapatnam or India, whatever, we want to come for treatment. And let's say I give you the name of the best heart surgeon. And you're very happy. You go to the surgeon. Okay, this is my problem. He says, all right, you know, I will go ahead and do your surgery. As you sit in his office, you see there are degrees and, you know, so many certificates and accolades, you know, because he's operated the heads of so many different nations and he's one of the very famous doctor. And he has photos with the president of Sri Lanka and Prime Minister of India, and the whole office is like, wow. And you're thoroughly impressed with so many degrees and and certificates, and you are happy. Okay, he's a right man, and now you are wheeled on the in operation theater, and the nurse and they're just taking you inside. Now imagine at that moment, if the nurse shares with you, our doctor is very nice, wonderful. Till now, no operation was unsuccessful, but it's just that. Last 2 days, his mind is not very stable because his only son died. His mind is not stable. Now, how many of us will continue with that operation? We'll say, no, better we do the operation after 10 days. Now, the degrees are still there and the photos with different presidents and prime ministers are still there and his name and fame is still there. But you don't want to deal with him anymore because he's not having stability of mind. Mind is so important that we have the, scriptures say this very nice thing. They say, Jitam Jagat Kena Manohiyena. Who can conquer this world? Jitam Jagat Kena. Who has conquered the world? Mano. One who has conquered the mind. And same thing Rupa Goswami says in his Nectar of Instruction. Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam. Manasa Vegam. Who can control the mind? Then he can become the spiritual master for the whole world, says Rupa Goswami. So important that one should have healthy mind, the right mind. Because mind will not only determine the way you live, the mind will determine the way you perceive things. What happened to Duryodhan? When Duryodhan was asked to go and find out, go and get some good man, Duryodhan said, I don't see even one good man in this world. Everybody is bad. And when Yudhishthir was asked to go and get a bad man, he said, I tried my best. I could not find even one bad man in this world. I've been searching. There's nobody bad in this world. So it's your mind with which you perceive things. It's your mind which determines how you live, how you move around, what happens to you. Situations will be same. How you analyze them depends upon your state of your mind, how healthy your mind is. I'll tell you, on a certain day in Indian railways, there was this one rich lady who walked inside the compartment with her husband. And she's rich, and she has that in her attitude. So the moment she entered, she started complaining. The fan is not working properly, I'm sweating. Oh, this curtain is not proper. Oh, this compartment is stinky. Oh, this is smelling. Oh, this window is not opening properly. She was complaining about everything, and everybody in the compartment is just watching her. After some time, she got tired of complaining, and both the husband and wife were sitting. So the other people in the compartment, they started a conversation. So, what do you do, sir? They seem to be rich, good garments and good clothes and decked up. So husband said, well, me and my wife, we both are in manufacturing business. So I said, oh, really, sir? What do you manufacture? He said, I manufacture soaps. And what does your wife manufacture? Well, she manufactures her own unhappiness. She manufactures her own unhappiness wherever she goes. That's what she manufactures. So, our mind, the way we perceive things, the way, that's why it's very important to keep the mind all right. If your mind is all right, no matter where you are, you can adjust the environment of that place, mind is so powerful. I'll tell you, there's this one lady who has written a very interesting book. Her name is Lisa Rankin. She's written this book about mind over medicine. And there she has given so much data of different scientific experiments they did, proving the power of mind, how mind can harm or mind can heal. And there's one particular case study that I like, very interesting, was about Dr. West. He was treating this patient called Mr. Wright, and he had these tumors all over his body, like the shape of it, size of an orange, on the throat, on the stomach, on the hand, everywhere. And the doctor had given up on him because it looked like he can't survive, because he was in the last stage. So, but somehow this man was very positive, Mr. Wright, because he had come through, come through an article in a newspaper glorifying a particular drug, which was a recent discovery, and they were still clinically experimenting with that drug, and so far so good, it was proving to be beneficial. So this man became very positive and he told Dr. West, "Why don't you get me that drug? I'll be fine." And doctor was like, "I can't get you that drug because they're still testing it. It's not in the market out." And he was insisting, "I'm ready to spend any amount of money. You just get me that drug. If you get me that drug, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I'll recover." The doctor thought, anyway, he's going to die. Why do I disappoint him? The last moment, the last wish. So he said, "Okay, I'll manage. I'll get it. No matter how expensive it is, I'll get it." What he did, placebo effect. He simply put some salt water in the injection and said, "I got the drug for you." And he injected him just to make him happy. Lo and behold, after 2 weeks, this man was out of the bed, walking in his room. And when the doctor came on the visit, he was surprised to see him all healthy, and all the tumors had melted, and he was doing very well. And then another 2 weeks, they discharged him, and the doctor was surprised. Oh my God! Just the positive mind can have such an effect on the person. But after a month, he came back again with the tumors all over. Now the doctor was surprised. Then over the course of the treatment, he shared with the doctor that one fine sunny morning, he was reading the newspaper and he came across this article where they were saying that this particular drug is not so successful. Now the doctor understood his mind, that's what's making him negative and the tumors are back. So the doctor came back next morning with a plan. He said, "Look, what they were talking about, those drugs, they failed because, you see, this is a 1957 real case study, okay?" So he said, "That drug, during the shipping of the drug, there was some, issue, and that's why the drug was not very high quality. There was some issue, but I got the drug right from the, lab, and this is concentrated and perfect, and this is going to work for you." Now this man became again positive. "Oh, maybe that was not it, it was a low quality, but he's giving me the best one and I'll be fine." Again he became fine within 2 weeks, all the tumors gone. Now, after some time, he again came back. What had happened? The American Medical Association had, released a statement saying that that particular drug is useless. It's not at all helping, it's waste, and they have dumped the, any more further improvement or, research on that particular drug. This time, the man was completely disappointed and completely given up. He had given up. So, after admitting in the hospital, within 2 days, he just left body. It's very interesting how mind has so much power. That's why you see Dr. Bernice Eagle, one of the very famous oncologists who deals with cancer. He once made a statement. He said, "After my years of experience, I have stopped, using this word terminal patient, because I understood one thing, that no disease is terminal, or no patient we can say terminal," because he said, "Whenever I used to go on rounds in my hospital, I used to tick for myself. This guy will die next week. That guy, not more than 10 days. That's it." And there were some patients I used to think, "I think he'll survive. He's okay. I'm in another month of treatment and he should be fine." And he said, to my horror, all the people whom I had ticked off, they survived. And the people I was expecting, they should be fine. And they were dying. And they were dying. And I said, then I understood one thing. There are only two kinds of patients in the world. One who wants to live and one who wants to die. He understood, and he said, he was making this statement. So that means mind is so powerful. If somebody is a fighter, they will fight it out. If somebody has given up, maybe their physical body can manage, but the mind has given up. So now they cannot recover, Of course, biggest example here I would like to give in our ISKCON movement is my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. Oh my, everybody thought it's over. And he managed, so many years, he got this stroke, and then after that so many things followed, you know, big and small, and then the liver transplantation and the kidney transplant, and so many things happened, and he's fine. And now I mean again he's in the hospital, and this time he's got some, you know, some artery leaked, and you know, so much blood is coming and leaking in the abdomen. Of course, I think they did the embossing and all, but I'm just telling you one example that it's the mind. If somebody has a powerful mind, they can fight any disease. So what to do to have a healthy mind? So to get a healthy mind, we need to think differently. Just like doctor, when he gives you medicine, he'll tell you, okay, with the medicine, take this particular diet. Now you may say, well, I'm eating, Dr. G. Yeah, yeah, you are eating, but eat differently. The doctor may say, walk. And you say, well, I walk every day. No, you're walking, but now walk differently. Go on brisk walk, walk 1 hour in the morning, walk 1 hour in the evening. The doctor says, okay, breathe properly. You may say, well, I'm breathing every day. No. Breathe differently. Do pranayama, you know, breathe in and breathe out in this way. Then it will help you. Think properly. Similarly, you know, think properly. Yeah, you may say, I'm only thinking. Yeah, but if you want to have a healthy, stable mind, then you'll have to think different. You'll have to think positive. You'll have to think in the right way. See, we live in this world, and we have where there are lots of choices, and we have lots of freedom. I can select what sari I want to wear. I can select what I want to eat, I can select where I want to go, what I want to say, what I want to speak. Yeah, there is a lot of freedom. But there are also many things in our life, the closest things in our life, for which we don't have freedom. For example, I didn't select my name. I didn't select when I'm going to, you know, take birth, my date of birth. You can't select which country you will be born. You can't select the color of your skin. You can't select what parents you will get. You can't select, you know, your brothers and sisters. You can't select the family you will be born, the community you will be born. You can't even select your neighbors. India never selected Pakistan. You see, you can't select your neighbors. Certain things you can't change. You're just born with it. So what you can change is the way you look at them. You can just change your attitude. You can change your attitude of looking at those things. So if there's this very beautiful saying, you know, I heard somewhere, I like him very much. He says, if we can program the weather of our mind, then we can control the atmosphere of our family, and then we can be in charge of the environment of the world. You just make a little change, you know, the weather of our mind is programmed properly, then the atmosphere in our house can be changed. The environment of the community can be changed. So something has to be done here. So what we are going to do here today is we will speak about different tips, how to have a healthy and stable mind, which will help us in our Krishna conscious journey. What is actually, you know, what is actually raising obstacles in our life, or what is actually obstacle? See, we know we have to chant, we have to hear, we have to surrender, we have to worship Krishna, and process is very simple, and everything is fine in our life. What is actually disturbing all this is our mind. If the mind can be trained, then the whole journey will become so beautiful. So today we will see on the different tips, what can we do to make our mind healthy. The first tip is empty the mind. Empty the mind. Clean the mind. You have to clean it. You know, like you take a brush and some surf, and you know, you just clean the mind. Empty the mind, because mind is having so much, you know, stored here that we are not having space for Krishna. You know, there's so many things out there, and it's a traffic jam. So we need to clean the place, then we can make place for Krishna. We have so many negative emotions. We still remember that fight which happened 15 years back with the neighbor, or 10 years back what he said and she said and she said and he said. And all this is crowding our mind so much that there is no place for Krishna. So clean your mind. I know it's so easily said, but it's not so easy to do. Even to remove physical things from our house is so difficult. You know, every Diwali or on festival, you know, the Matajis, they will start the cleaning drive of the home and they take out all the useless things which have been never used for years. And finally, when the, you know, the whole thing is ready, okay, this is the trash, then one by one it will start. But this charger, I think we can still use it. Better to keep it, because, you know, if my charger doesn't work, I think this wire will be useful. I think this I can keep under the study table. And within 20 minutes, everything will again go back to their places, you know. And that happens every year, Diwali. Every year you take out that I'm going to throw. And then you'll still keep it and you'll still keep it. And I'm sure many out there will agree with me. This happens. Now imagine some physical useless things also from house. It's so difficult to throw. It will be definitely difficult to throw things from our, you know, out of our mind, you know, because we've been storing them from such a long time. And there are so many impressions that we have stored from the previous life. We have not cleaned it there also. See, that's why people work, why the spiritualists talk about, you know, the mind so much. Because the thing is, this physical gross body made up of earth, water, fire, air and ether, you get a new one every time you take birth. You know, but mind, you don't get a new one. It's an old guy, old one, and you have to live with them. And there is no exchange, and there is no refund exchange policy. Just like you have, you buy things on Amazon, you can exchange them. You can get your money back. You can refund, but mind, there is no exchange. You know, we have been with it for a long time. So better we start working on it. Because body, at least you get a new one. But mind, ego, intelligence, the subtle body is with you all along, no matter what species of life you go. So at least when we have come in touch with Srila Prabhupada and the right parampara and the right scriptures, the first thing we start doing is work on our subtle body, make it nice, clean, good, fresh and beautiful. Because even if we are unable to go back home, back to God, at least we'll have a nice mind when we go on our next journey in the next body. So we need to empty our mind of the negative emotions. I'll tell you, you know, there was this one boy who was studying in grade 7. And one fine day he came home and he told his mother, from tomorrow come 1 hour late to pick me up from the school because we have our annual day celebrations and there's lots of practice going on. So the mother became very happy because it's a big school and my son got selected for annual day, you know, some program because he has to stay back for practice. She was very happy and the practice went on for a fortnight, 15 days, you know. Every day the mother was picking up the child late because of practice. And finally, on the day of, you know, the annual day, and all the parents are sitting and, you know, they're just looking. And these parents were looking, where is my child? And they couldn't find him in the whole program. And at the end, when they went back home, you know, in the school, you know, the children are with the teachers. And then afterwards, the parents have to pick them up. So when they picked up the child after the whole program was over, in the car, they were asking the you know, their son, we didn't see you anywhere. What were you doing? What was your role? So his son said, oh, mommy, don't ask me. My best friend got 10 minutes role, you know, and my another friend got 15 minutes role. And somebody got the role of singing and somebody got the role in a drama. Somebody got this. But you know what? With me, I got 1 hour role, complete whole 1 hour role. And his mother said, really? What was that? He said, you know what I was supposed to do? I was supposed to sit in the audience and clap and clap and clap and clap for whole 1 hour. Imagine my friends had 10 minutes role and 15, but I had a role for whole 1 hour. I was supposed to clap. That's what my teacher said, that you clap enthusiastically. Now, just look at this. Of course, the parents were miserable, but the child was so happy. Why? Because such a positive mind he has. He doesn't have any prejudice, any discrimination, any hatred. His heart is pure. He doesn't, you know the difference between stage or audience. Or he was happy that he's part of it. He's, you know, he's part of the show, and he also, you know, had something to do. So positive attitude, positive mind can keep you happy anywhere and everywhere. If you're not having the right positive attitude, even if you everything is right in your life, you'll still have a but. You know, and if this tendency continues, even if you are sent in Swarga and you are sitting along with Indra, you will say everything is fine. But you know what? Urvashi did not look at me while she was dancing. You'll always have everything fine, but that but will keep on in your life, you know, if you don't have positive attitude. And somebody has the right attitude, even if everything is wrong, they'll always keep looking for something positive in what is, you know, even if everything is wrong, they'll say, okay, fine. It was like, but this was nice, but that was nice, right? So, empty our minds. So right, we need to empty our minds. If we don't do it, if we don't empty our minds of negative emotion, after some time it'll start smelling. It'll smell bad. And you will be disturbed. And people around you will be disturbed. Just like, you know, every week you need to clean your refrigerator. If you don't clean your refrigerator, then you know your buttermilk will taste like dal and your dal will smell like, you know, Srikhanda. You don't know what happens because, you know, it has to be clean. The refrigerator has to be clean. You can't have things leaking and pouring one in the other, you know. You clean the refrigerator every week. After that, it'll be a problem. You can't have food more than one day. Otherwise, it becomes stale. If you have a dead rat in house, not more than 1 hour. And after that, it will be unbearable. The smell will be unbearable. You need to find out where is that dead rat and throw it out. Same thing with the mind. If you have those emotions, negative emotions, they're like the dead rat. Better you find out where is that negative emotion and just throw it. Otherwise, it will start smelling. You know, I'll share with you this very beautiful experiment that the schools in Japan, you know, one of the schools in Japan did it. This teacher asked the students, you know, get up and just look around the room and see how many people you don't like in this room. So everybody got up and they're mentally calculating, okay, I don't like her and I don't like him. And okay, the teacher said, are you ready with your numbers? And somebody, yeah, 8, 7, 4, 6, 5, everybody got the numbers. And teacher said, okay, now we have an exercise to do. How many people you don't like, that many boiled potatoes bring tomorrow for the school, to the school. The students said, fine. So next day morning, they got a Ziploc bag with the number of, you know, boiled potatoes. And they said, teacher, we are ready. The teacher said, okay, now keep it with you. And don't give it up even for a minute. Even if you go to the washroom, when you go to this, you know, for sports, you're running, no matter what you are doing, you'll have to keep it with you. So the students were carrying it. At the end of the day, when they were going home, they said, ma'am, what should we do with this? Keep it. Continue. Even when you are at home, don't leave it even for a minute. And that went on for a couple of days. And at the end, the children was, ma'am, the potatoes are smelling. This, they become stale and you know, and within a day or two, the children were thinking, oh, he's so lucky. He, you know, he just got it one potato because he just had one guy that he doesn't like and he has only two. Why did I have 14 of them and it's so heavy? And then at the end of your exercise, the teacher said, see, the stale potatoes are becoming so heavy for you to carry. Similarly, if you keep those negative emotions in your mind, they'll become too heavy for you to carry. They'll become stale and they'll disturb you. It's not the potatoes disturbing you when you're moving, running. It's such a burden to give it up, you know, just give up those thoughts. And I thought that was so beautiful. That's what is happening. You know, people come with questions like, how should I concentrate on my japa? I'm not able to focus when I read Bhagavatam. I cannot understand. I'm not happy. I'm having this problem. But the whole problem is actually the stale potatoes which you're keeping in your mind. The moment you remove them, you'll feel so happy and light and perfect, you know, everything will look so beautiful. But because we are carrying those negative emotion, you know, it makes us feel very heavy. But if somebody may say, but you don't understand what that person did to me. You know, if you were in my place, you could have understood. It's so difficult to forgive sometimes. You know, he did this and he did that. But I tell you, actually, we don't forgive because of that person. We forgive because we want to be free. If we don't forgive, we have to carry those stale potatoes with us. When we forgive, we become free and we become happy and we become light. So we are actually forgiving because for our own benefit, selfish benefit, and not for anybody else. We just forgive. I tell you, when I was young, in my college days, I was very impressed by this, you know, Nelson Mandela, this man. And I had read his, you know, I'm not completely in, you know, there's this book called Walk to Freedom, you know, Long Walk to Freedom. And I'll tell you, so many interesting, you know, insights to life, you know, he has given. And there's one thing which I always carry in my heart. He was banished, you know, to Robben Island in South Africa. That was for 27 years, okay? 27 years, not 1 year or 2 year. And he was in this 10 into 10 room, okay? And now you could imagine, you know, lonely island. And it was like an asylum, mental asylum kind of thing. All the lunatics were there, and they were lepers, you know. It was like a colony of lepers, and among midst of all this, he lived there. And there was this one guy called John Worster, who was his, you know, paka enemy. And every time he was in the government, and every time his only goal was to somehow see that, you know, Mandela is hanged. So every time he was trying to put the bill, hang Mandela, and he even openly said it publicly, the dream of my life is to see Mandela die. He was so full of envious and so full of, you know, vengeance for Mandela, and always trying to, you know, and he made sure that he doesn't come out, you know, he's there in that prison. Now imagine, after 27 years of suffering and, you know, being in there, finally, after 27 years, when he was released from that, you know, he was welcomed. So all these press reporters, they're asking him so many questions. So one of them asked him, sir, what do you have to say about John Worster? Now, everybody can understand what he will say, because that was the man who was keeping him in there, you know. And Nelson Mandela, he made this statement. He said, he was a decent man. That's all he said. That's all he had to say about him. He was a decent man. And I thought, wow, now this is something. That means he has forgiven him. Now, it's not 1 year, mind you, it's not 2 years. 27 years of your life, you are in 10 into 10 room, in prison. You put in so much difficulty because of this one man. And at the last, what you have to say about him? He was a decent man. That's it. He has nothing to say. He has forgiven him. And he wants to move forward, and he wants to think about the positive things in life. And I thought that was beautiful. So, yeah, we want to move forward. We want to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. We are in a hurry. So let's not worry about what he said and she said, because maybe they are not in a hurry. Maybe they just want to stay here. Maybe it's their fault. Maybe it's not your fault at all. Maybe it's 99.9% their fault. And your fault, maybe only 0.1% is your fault. Now, okay, your fault is 0.1% and his fault is 99.9%, but this 0.1% is keeping you away from Goloka Vrindavan. So let's worry about our 0.1%. He may have 99.9%. That's not my problem. What will happen to him? My problem is my 0.1%, because my 0.1% is keeping me away from Krishna. So let me work on my 0.1. I don't want that 0.1 also. I want to go back home, back to God. I'm in hurry. So that should be our attitude, instead of worrying about he or she, or, you know, so removing the negative emotions. The other thing that we can do to upgrade our attitude is accept people, accept situations in our life gracefully. Bloom where you are, you know, where you have been put, you know, bloom there. Don't complain, you know, the flower does not complain, oh, if I was in that pot, I would have grown better. No, bloom where you have been potted, where you are there, you know, bloom there. Whatever the soil or manure you are getting, according to that you grow. Don't start looking at that flower and this flower. Accept people, accept situations gracefully. Just like we accept prasadam. You go to a temple and they give you charnamrit, you just accept it because it's a prasad. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And you just take it. You don't analyze. Oh, this has a little less ghee, I think. And I think that pujari has forgotten to give little honey. And he should have put in little more rose water. Nobody analyzes a charnamrit. Charnamrit is charnamrit. You just take it and finish it up. Our life is a prasadam of the Lord. And he has decided what kind of husband and wife and what kind of situation we will be put in. And let's just accept it as Lord's prasad. And then with whatever Lord has given us, and with that we, go on with our life. See, if the things are different, it makes it more interesting. Imagine if everybody thinks, walks, talks like you, what's the fun? But that's what we are trying to do. Everybody should think as I think. They should walk as I walk. They should talk as I talk. They should... No, everybody is different. And that adds beauty to the world. You know, when you eat a fruit salad has three kinds of fruits. You know, you have sweet fruits and you have sour fruits. You have tasteless fruits. It's not. You put sweet fruits. You put chiku. You put banana. These are sweet fruits. You put some sour fruits. You put oranges and you put grapes and you put some tasteless. I don't like apples, so I think I'll put that in the tasteless category. Apples, no taste. So tasteless fruit and sour and sweet, and that makes a fruit salad so interesting. And imagine if you just put, if everything tastes like banana, it won't be interesting. You know, it would not be like a fruit salad. You know, the milk has to have all different kinds of fruits. Actually, we like variety, frankly. In fact, everything is similar and same. We won't enjoy it. Imagine you go to a zoo. You go to a zoo and you know, here is some monkeys you're seeing in the cage. The very next moment when you walk further, you want to see now a different animal. And then you want to see a different animal. Imagine the zoo has the same animals. You won't go to that zoo. You say, no, I want to see different. But when it comes to our family, community, we want everybody should be same. Talk like me, think like me, speak like me. There we don't want difference. But otherwise we want variety. Everything should be. And we don't complain when we look at a monkey in the zoo. We don't say, actually his nose should have been a little broader there. And the lips should have been a little, you know, redder. And then this should have been a little this. No, you are happy whatever way the monkey looks. But with our family, maybe my wife should have been a little this. And my husband should have been a little nicer. And we have so many, changes to prescribe. I'll tell you something. Whenever you get this feeling, you know, there should be this should have been like this, that should have been like this. Whenever you get this complaint in your mind, remember this one example I give you. Imagine you have a morning shift to your office, okay? So you have packed your tiffin, you have packed food for yourself. Now you have to go to work. So you have packed some soup and you have packed some upma, you have packed some things, you know, and then you go to your workplace. And then when there is the break time, you open your tiffin, your carriage, and you see the spoon is missing. Now tell me, whom will you complain? It's you who cooked the upma and cooked the tomato soup, and it's you who packed it. And who forgot the spoon? It's you who forgot the spoon to be packed. So now whom are you going to complain? Nobody, because it's you who packed it, it's you who did it. That's what's happening in our life. You know, the people that we come around, our family, whether it's our children or wife or husband or whoever is around, it's you who have packed it. You wanted a wife like this and you wanted a husband like this. Now don't complain because you packed it. How did you pack it? By your karma. You packed it. In your previous life, you have done a certain karma. According to that, you have been given a certain spouse. Now, if you have forgotten while packing, maybe you packed, I should have a beautiful wife and she should be educated. But you forgot to add that she should be sweet-natured, and you forgot to add a salt, and you forgot to add a little sugar. And now you are complaining, but the soup is not tasty. But my dear sir, you cooked it and you packed it. Now you can't complain. You packed it. So now every time things are coming out of the carriage, your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, always remember you packed it. And if you have forgotten to put something in that soup, it's nobody's problem. It's your problem. Right? And if we remember this one thing, we'll stop complaining. Because who to complain? Nobody has packed it and given it to you. Here, dear sir, carry your carriage. You packed it yourself. You cooked it yourself. You carried it yourself. And now you want to complain, you know, with others. You know, why don't I have, you know, rasagulla, and why I have only upma in my tiffin? But you packed it. Right? So accept situations, accept people in your life gracefully. Along with your bank balance, we always check our bank balance. You know, nowadays you have so much facility in the phone. You can just send them an SMS and they'll tell you what's your current balance. And of course, there may be more other upgraded ways to check. But, you know, you keep checking your bank balance. We also need to check our brain balance. What's happening with my mind? Where am I going? What am I thinking? What am I doing? I tell you, in this COVID situation, what really helped people was the brain balance, you know, more than bank balance. Because they may have all the money, they may have the passport, they may have visas, they have all the facility, but they could not move out from their house, 4 rooms or 2 rooms, and that's it. They were locked inside their house. The only thing that could help them at that moment was the brain balance. If they had nourished their brains nicely, then they could withstand it. And those who had not invested in their brain balance, they were shattered. They were shattered not because of corona, so many other things that happened in their life. Because, you know, staying in close proximity with their, you know, with their spouse, and so many domestic violence and so many abuses and so many things. And they were in depression and some were in stress and so many things. But only those who had invested enough in their brain balance, they could manage it. They could somehow manage this 2 years and come out of this COVID situation. So yeah, apart from your bank balance, we need to keep checking regularly brain balance. What's happening with my brain? Am I cool? I'm fine. What am I thinking? What is my thought process? The other thing we can do is, apart from the business management, you know, everybody has to manage their business, we need to also do behavior management. How we talk with people, how we behave with people. You know, people who say a lot of times they use this word, sorry, 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 it's not a good sign. You must think, how sweet, so humble, they're saying sorry. No, sorry means you're not alert. You can't keep, you know, hurting people and then say, I'm sorry, actually I didn't mean that. I didn't want to say that. At that moment, I don't know how that words came out. I'm sorry. No, it's not great. You know, that means you're not alert. That means you're not conscious. You just, you know, you just have this machine gun in your hand and you keep, you know, shooting people. And then you say, oh, I'm sorry, did I hurt you? That makes no sense. So that means if we are using too much sorry in our vocabulary, we shouldn't be proud about it. It shows that we are not alert. Very unconsciously, carelessly we are talking. You know, keep hurting people with our talking, with our behavior, and then we keep saying sorry, 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 sorry. So we should try to reduce that, you know, and be conscious and alert of what we are doing, what we are saying. Are we hurting anybody? So that is one thing. Apart from business management, we should also do behavior management. See, you may make a lot of money, you know, but it's not about, you know, keeping all that money, all that gold in your heart. We have to see whether I have a heart of gold. Do I have a gold in my heart, or I have heart of gold? Have I improved my behavior? So, you know, we need to keep regularly checking on that. The other thing that we can do to upgrade is check whether you have a bonding attitude or breaking attitude. You know, some people, they have this breaking attitude. The moment they open their mouth, they break hearts. They just, you know, disturb people by their talks, by their... I'll give you a simple example from Mahabharata, what happened with Draupadi. Just that one sentence changed the whole course. When Duryodhan slipped, you know, and slipped and fall, she says, Andheka putra andha. She says, the blind man's son is blind. And, you know, she, with sarcasm, and that hurt Duryodhan. And then, you know, series of things happened and ultimately resulted in the war. So we need to check our words, check our, you know, are we like that? You know, the moment we say something, we hurt people, and we have a breaking attitude, or do we have a bonding attitude? Is it that when we speak, people immediately become very happy and inspired, and you know, they become super, you know, enthusiastic? We need to check ourselves. One way to check is, you know, does your husband say that, oh, if I have to be born again, I wish I have you as my wife? Or does your wife say, if I have to again take birth, I wish I have you as my husband again? And how many of you get that validation from your spouse? Check. Or does your guru say, oh my God, if I have a disciple, I should have a disciple like you? You know, how many of, we need to, let's check how many of us has that. And if we say, no, my wife says, Amma, over with you, at least next life I get a better husband, then start working on it. You know, then you understand, okay, that means, or your children say, oh my God, why is my dad like this? You know, so just check where we stand, and then we get no from everybody, nobody wants us back in their life again, then it's time to seriously, you know, start working. You know, where am I going wrong? So yeah, breaking attitude or bonding attitude. What's your attitude? How do you make people around you feel? You know, so you should have a bonding attitude, just like a book. The book is not bound properly, the papers will come out. If there's no proper bonding, relationships won't last long. They'll just come out, you know. Not only bonding should be tight, but the thinking also should be right. The understanding, I'll tell you. You know, what happens in marriages usually? You get in touch with a person. When you get in touch with a person, you don't get in touch with the whole of that person, just a part of it, because you know him for a few hours that you speak to him, you interact with him, you associate with him. And now when you get married to him, it's not the part, now you have the whole of him, but you know only the part of him which you like, but you don't know the other parts of him, right? Everybody has so many parts in their life. But now you have to have the maturity. Okay, now there's so many parts to this person's life. Maybe I just like one part of him, and there's so many other parts of him which I don't like. But I should be maturely able to accept the whole of him, right? And I should console myself. Okay, this part of him is nice and I like. This part of him I don't like, but he is the whole and I need to accept him. So certain things, see, nobody will be sarvaguna sampan. Always somebody will have something lacking. Maybe you don't, you know, maybe the grass is always greener on the other side. When you see others, you may think, no, but that person is perfect, but this person is perfect. Except Krishna, nobody is perfect. Everybody has some or the other, you know, shortcomings. So we should have that maturity, bonding tight, and then, you know, thinking right, you know, don't have over expectations from people, and forgiving sight, forgiving. You should have compassion, and you should forgive and forget and move ahead. Okay, and have a big heart. You know, in the Indian railways, we have this narrow gauge and we have this meter gauge, and then we have this broad gauge. Now, this narrow gauge trains, you know, we have some small trains from Shimla to, you know, different places. Now, they don't carry much luggage and they can't carry many people. But the broad gauge trains, yes, they can carry a lot. We have to have a big heart like that. You know, you think about everybody as our own, Vasudeva Kutumbam, and keep a broad heart, keep a big heart, and not only learn the, you know, not only keep this art of grabbing from people, but learn this art of giving, you know, and then you'll experience this joy of giving to others. Whatever way you can, small or big, it's not always about, you know, able to give money to people, but there you can be nice to people. And once you start giving out, you know, to people, you'll experience that joy. Now I'm reminded of this one, you know, one man who was in a, you know, on one fine day, he was in a cab and he was traveling from one place to another. Now in India, you know, when you are at this traffic signal, you know, when there's a red light, you have so many street vendors, you know, small kids also, they'll come and sell some peanuts, and they'll come and sell some papaya, some flowers, you know. So this man who was in this cab, he, you know, asked the small boy, said, come, I need, give me some peanuts. So he bought the peanuts. And after buying the peanuts, he gave it to the cab driver. The cab driver was surprised. He said, sir, what is this? He said, no, it's for you. no sir, I don't want. No, you take it. You've been driving last 1 hour and this is for you, you know. They said, sir, you take some. No, I've bought it for you. You happily, you know, eat some peanuts and drive, you know, nicely. So this cab driver was very happy. Then finally, when they reached the destination, so, you know, in the Indian taxis, you have to see the meter, how much it, so you just see the meter, okay, how much I have to pay. And the taxi driver says, sir, you don't need to pay. And he said, why? He said, so many people gave me money, but nobody gave me love and affection, you know, the way you treated me, the way you spoke to me, so affectionate. Sir, you have paid in full. And I want to give something back to you. I don't want to take any money from you. So I was just thinking that, you know, small little things that we can do, you know, upgrading our attitude, little changes, not big, step by step. The lift man, you know, in our apartment, or the security guard, or the, you know, person checking our cards at the, you know, or the person in the counter at the departmental store is billing. Just about anybody, if we can just, you know, give a smile, be nice to people, start giving, you know, have a broad attitude, have a bigger attitude, it will be so beautiful. Small little changes if we can make in our day-to-day life. So, of course, this is because there can be no end to this topic. We can go on and on and on, you know, how we can make this little changes in our attitude, in our day-to-day life, and how can we become happy and happy. So somewhere I need to end it, because it can go on and on and on, because lives are like that. There are so many things that we can do, and the scriptures prescribe so many things that we can change in our attitude, and that will make our lives happy and more closer to Krishna. And this, with this one thing I'll say, and I'll end it here, is let me ask you a question. Let's say you went for an event at your office. Okay, at your office, it was a nice event, and you know, after a few days, you know, the office colleagues were sharing with you the photos of the event. And they gave you 3 photos, you know. And in one photo, all your colleagues were there, you know, smiling and looking very nice. But somehow you were missing in that photo. Maybe you went to get the Coke or something from the pantry. You were missing. And the second photo, you know, all your office colleagues were there, happy and smiling. And you were also there. But you had a face like this, you know. You know, sometimes it happens in the photo. You know, you suddenly close your eyes and they just click the photo at that moment. And then there was this third photo, which had all of your office colleagues happy and smiling. And you are also there happy and smiling. And now here you are with your album, which has a space to keep just one photo. And you have the choice of these 3 photos. And which photo will you pick up? Which photo will you pick up? The third one, which has all your office colleagues and you smiling. Now you will say, what's so difficult about this question? Anybody understands out of these 3 will pick up the last one. Yeah, why will you do that? Because when you revisit your album again, you'll be so happy to see that picture where everybody is happy and smiling. So similarly, when this question is so simple to answer, it is as simple as when we have the album of our mind, let's just have the best picture there, you know, best picture of the people in our life. But what we do in the album of our mind, he did that to me and that picture, we want to put it in the album. He has spoken to me like this and she has spoken to me like this. And then what happens? Every time you revisit the album, you are hurt and you feel so bad. So in the album of your memory, the album of your mind, you should always stick beautiful memories and beautiful pictures of people in your life. And then what will happen? When you revisit the album, there will be a twinkle in your eye and not a wrinkle on your face. You know, oh, he did that. There should be a twinkle in your eye. So this is one thing we can do. Just have the best of whatever memories you have. You know, let's say whatever nature that person has. But I'm sure there will be at least one thing nice about that person. And capture that picture in the memory, you know, in the album of your mind, and keep it there. And then you can always be happy. So, of course, we heard so many things in today's class, but everything will make sense if we start implementing them, because only hearing does not help. It's like the dam, you know, when it rains, the dam stores the water, But the fact that the dam has water will not make your farms green. For your farms to be green, you need to make canals where the water from the dam goes to your farm. So when we hear a class, it's like raining information, so many things. And what we are storing are like dams. But what we need to do is make canals, and that is action plans. How am I going to implement that in my life today? Whatever I heard, everything at a time, it's not possible. But we write it down and then we have an action plan. Okay, today now, you know, 8 o'clock IST, I'm going to start implementing this one particular point. Maybe I heard 10 points. Not now. This one point, I'll start working on it. And then, you know, by this, I should try to achieve this. And then the second point, and then the third point, and step by step, there should be an action plan. And if that happens, you know, then we'll start seeing, you know, miracles in our life, you know. We'll feel, we'll be more happy, we'll be more lighter, we'll be more closer to Krishna. So, that way we can, you know, make our mind our friend. And if our mind becomes our friend, then it'll take us closer to Krishna. If we have a healthy mind, if we have an unhealthy mind, then it'll take us further down and away from Krishna. So we should work on our mind, and whatever ways, you know, by implementing small little thing and small little changes, we should purify our mind. Of course, intelligence gets purified when we read scriptures. And when intelligence is purified and more stronger, then it controls the mind. And that way the whole journey in the chariot becomes very comfortable, because the intelligence is, you know, in control of the reins, and the reins control the senses, and thus the whole journey happens very comfortably. So with this, praying to Guru and Krishna to give us strength to have a healthy mind and purified intelligence to go forward in our journey back home, back to Godhead. Thank you so much. With this, I'll end it here. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Okay, all right. Okay, so what I understand in your question is that, sometimes we see certain things negative in our life, and then we are thinking, when will these problems end? So the whole thing is, when we read scriptures, then scriptures give us an insight on who we actually are. And when we start thinking about us in that context, then things will be a little easy to take. For example, when you see a building, you know, a tall building, then you look very small in front of the building. But when you are up there in the plane, you know, in the aeroplane, and from there you look at the same building, now the building looks very small. Now when you see in the bigger context, things will look smaller. Similarly, when you think about yourself as soul, when you think about yourself as part and parcel of Krishna, when you think that you are temporary in this world, when you know, then things become a little easy to tolerate. But if you think, this is the whole thing about my existence, then it will become very, very difficult. I'll tell you, like, for example, if you know that this, you know, what is that boat? Titanic. If you are in the Titanic and you are convinced that the Titanic is going to sink, now, even if you are putting in lot of effort to get out of Titanic, that effort is not giving you pain, because you know, hey, this is going to sink, I better get out. But somewhere in your mind, if you think it may not sink, then you don't want to put so much effort. Then every effort will be like, the captain is asking me to get out of it, but I don't want to get out. It's so much effort to get out. You know that? I don't know how I'll manage. It's cold water out there. Now all the excuses will come, because somewhere in your mind you are thinking it may not sink. But if you are convinced that it's going to sink, then no matter how much effort it takes, you are ready to it. So when we think that this material world is a nice place and we think that I think with some adjustments I'm going to be comfortable here, then everything about Krishna consciousness is a big headache. Well, how to do and how to get up and how to chant and all. But if you are convinced this is not my place, then everything is so interesting. So mind is like that. So what we need to do with this mind is we need to, that perception of effort has to be decreased and the anticipation of the reward has to be increased. That means you have to give a pep talk to your mind. Look, temporary inconvenience for a permanent convenience. Yeah, there will be some problems up and down. Whatever is happening is because of my purification. Ultimately, everything will be fine. This is a passing phase. Krishna is my well-wisher. And this is anyway temporary situation for me. And I have to go back home, back to Gaurad. And there everything is going to be fine. So yeah, for some time I need to tolerate. So this has to be done. And Krishna says time and again, tolerate, tolerate, tolerate. So as a devotees, we need to tolerate. Because as I said, we have packed our own tiffin, so we can't complain. Okay, some situation Krishna helped me, some situation Krishna did. But we packed our own tiffin. Now if we have forgotten the spoon, we can't complain. We need to tolerate, better to eat with hand without complaining about the spoon because you packed it. So like that, we should give pep talk to our mind. And the more we associate with devotees and the more we read scriptures and the more nicely we do our chanting, the mind gets more purified, the intelligence becomes more. See, anybody's life, if the intelligence is controlling mind, everything will be happy. If the mind is controlling intelligence, there the problem will start. But our life, sometimes he becomes a CEO, sometimes he becomes a CEO. What we need to do is we need to make sure that intelligence is the CEO of our company and not the mind. And to make intelligence the CEO of the company, you have to make it strong. And intelligence becomes strong when you read scriptures and associate with devotees. Now, when the intelligence is strong, it will discriminate. Your mind may bring so many thoughts. Nothing is working. Everything is going up and I don't have the patience. But what will happen now? If the intelligence is strong, it'll stop the mind. Hey, don't speak all that. Nothing is wrong. What has gone wrong with my life? I still have two pair of eyes and I still have nose and I'm still breathing and I'm still eating and I'm fine. So what's wrong? And I'm still having this opportunity to join on the Zoom and hear Krishna Katha. I still have opportunity to take prasadam. And what's wrong with me? So you have to sit and sometimes write down like a journal in the diary. What are all the good things that are happening in your life? And then write down what are the bad things and then you will understand. And just weigh them and you will have 100 reasons to smile. You'll have to put it because mind is, is trying to take you in other direction. Its mind is trying to make you depressed. Oh, now what? Now how? This will never get sorted out. This will always be. Mind wants to make you feel like that. You have to fight with the mind. No, there are so many things which are nice in my life, So sometimes when everything is dark, at least see at one thing that is nice in your life and try to, focus on that. Count your blessings. Okay, Krishna is so kind. And at least, even if at this time you're taking shelter of Krishna, don't take shelter of anything else, Even if you apparently feel nothing is happening and Krishna is not helping, Krishna has some plan. Krishna has some plan. Have patience. While you are, while you are shaking the apple tree, don't be blind to the mango tree next to that. Maybe you are shaking apple because you are hungry, but there's a mango tree which is, giving you mangoes, but your vision is limited to the apple tree. You are expecting something from here. But the friction has caused the nearby mango tree to give you mangoes. Just pick up your mangoes and walk away. Because every time Krishna has, a different plan, he's very smart and very intelligent. We may think this is a problem and this is a solution. Krishna may think this is a problem, but this is not the solution. That is the solution. He may be having some other solution. So just have patience, he has a plan for you. He has plan for everybody. He has not only planned Arjun's life as a chariot driver, he's a chariot driver of all of our lives. And he has a blueprint ready for all of our lives. At this moment, maybe we are feeling, this is not right what's happening to me. But there may be so many things in your life which must have happened 15 years ago, 20 years ago, or 10 years ago, which at that time you felt was not right. But now you feel, it's okay. It made me more strong. So like that, it's a passing phase. Just after some time, you're going to feel, okay, that was all right. It made me more strong. Or it was nice for me. We never know. So Krishna has a plan. Okay, I have understood your question. So you said that when you think positive, are you depending on yourself? You're not depending on Krishna? No. You can think positive in connection with Krishna. It doesn't have to be isolated with Krishna. For example, I said, if you have a positive attitude, no, I'll be fine. You can add, I'll be fine because Krishna is with me. That's it. That's the only little change that you have to make in your thinking. You're not depending on you. You are sure that you will be fine because Krishna loves you. You are sure you will be fine because Krishna is your well-wisher and he always plans nice things for you. So that's it. You just add Krishna to your positive attitude. So you're not depending on, you are happy because you are positive because you are connected to Krishna. The positiveness is coming from Krishna. It's not an isolated feeling. Yeah. Wait. You'll have to speak slowly. Okay. Okay, let me see if I got the question. You know, sweetheart, you're speaking so sweetly, but you know, I'm not that smart. Let me try if I understood your question. You said in every situation it may be difficult to have faith in Krishna, right? Because sometimes situation is severe. That's what you mean to say? Did you say that? Okay, I got it now. You said, in a certain situation, at that particular moment, you may not be able to accept it as Krishna's plan. That's what, you may not have faith, okay, this is Krishna's plan, so what to do at that moment? I'll tell you something. Not every situation you can accept as it is saying that this is Krishna's plan. For example, let me tell you, there's some people who were shooted by terrorists, okay? They were killed. Or there's some people, some children were abused, or let's say so many bad things happened to people, okay? Now imagine those victims, you can't expect them to think at that moment, this is Krishna's plan. Krishna loves me so much. He can't. His father has been murdered or something has happened to his children. How can he think this is Krishna's plan and Krishna is so kind to me? So it's not that you can always, you know, accept, you know, things as what you can do is amidst the problem also, you can see what, you know, Krishna has helped you in what way. For example, let's say, somebody just came to know that he has a fourth stage cancer or something like that. Now tell me, at this moment, he can't be grateful to Krishna or he can't think, oh, Krishna is kind to me, or, you know. So what he can do at that moment is, he can start thinking about other things which Krishna has done. That means he can say, okay, I've got cancer and, you know, I'm suffering, but at least, you know, before I died, at least I came in touch with Krishna consciousness. At least I got an opportunity to read Srila Prabhupada books. Okay, at least now that I know that I'm going to die, I have a time to, you know, get more serious about Krishna consciousness. So, okay, at least I have now time to plan something for my wife and children. So like that, amidst the problem, you can count your blessings. That's all you can do, because for every situation, you can't be grateful to Krishna. But amidst the problem, you can think about some things which Krishna has done for you, and that way balance your mind. Because you see, this material world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. There will always be some problem. So we see at the bigger picture, and the bigger picture, that's it. So whatever happens, you know, we should have that, okay. Like I don't know, in many classes I've said that. Whatever situations happen, you look up, look down, look around, look within. You know, this 4 or 5 mantras, whatever happens, you look up. Okay, this may be Krishna's plan. Okay, you look around. What are the other gates open? If this door is closed, what are the other doors open? Look within. You understand, okay, I'm not this body. I'm soul. This is temporary. So you look around, you look within, you look up. And sometimes, some things we cannot understand. For example, nowadays children have seen or not, but in India they have something called embroidery. You know, you make this nice patterns of, you know, with thread. I'll tell you, when you look at those patterns which has been made in a handkerchief or something, if you look from below, you can't make out anything because they look all tangled. Hey, what is this, you know? But when you look from the top, it looks very nice. Maybe somebody's name is written or maybe there is a nice flower. But if you look from below, you cannot understand. That's our life. What we are seeing things are, we are seeing from our own limited vision, and everything looks tangled and it looks like, I don't know what's beautiful about it. But when you are connected to Krishna and then you try to look at a bigger picture, an aerial view, then you understand, no, actually there was a plan Krishna had. I'll tell you, when Arjuna in Mahabharata, he got cursed by Urvashi. I think it was Urvashi who said that, you know, she wanted to enjoy with Arjun, and Arjun denied, I don't want to, because you had, you know, association with my grandfather. So you're like my, you know, grandmother or like my mother, and I don't want to, you know, enjoy with you. So Urvashi says, okay, go ahead. I become a eunuch. You know, I curse you. Now imagine, Arjun cannot be grateful to Krishna for this. Wow, you know, she cursed me. He was a strong Kshatriya. But then later he realized that this was Krishna's plan. Now because he got cursed, you know, and then later on when he had to go on exile incognito, this was very helpful because otherwise he had a strong build. Anybody could point out who is Arjun in the crowd. But because of this curse by Urvashi, for 1 year he could be incognito, he could hide himself, and that way they successfully completed the exile period. So like that, if you see in Mahabharata, there are so many such instances where you at the you know outset you will feel, what is special nice about this? Everything is going wrong in Pandava's life. But then when you see the whole picture, then things make sense. Sometimes things don't make sense part, but when you bring it together, they make sense. So definitely isolated incidents, you may feel, oh, you know, how to keep faith, but you should understand that this is part of the whole, and Krishna has a whole plan. You know, sometimes you see in the, movies, you know, you see some movies, some thriller movies, and in the beginning you will see the curtain is moving and the half apple is broken and there is some blood on the apple, and you cannot understand what's happening. But when you see the whole movie, then at the end of the movie, then you understand, oh, why was the apple broken and why were the curtains moving and why was this happening? Now everything is making sense. But you have to have the patience to watch the whole movie. If after watching the first few scenes you say, nothing is making sense, I don't want to see this, then you'll have to see the whole thing till the end. Then everything will start making sense. So like that, during those difficult times, you should tell yourself, yes, it's not making any sense to me at this moment. Why is Krishna doing this? Nothing seems to be right. Okay, fine. But I have faith. Krishna has a plan. I'm sure he has some plan. I'm just seeing the part of it. And later on, I'll see the whole of it. So you have to have patience and have to have patience. One faith that, you know, a devotee should have is, Krishna is my well-wisher and he doesn't know to do anything except to wish well for me. That's that one thing one has, that's our life's mantra. He doesn't know, actually, you see 64 qualities of Krishna from Nectar of Devotion. One quality is that he doesn't know to do anything but favors on others. That's his quality. He doesn't know anything else. He doesn't know how not to help. He can only help. He can only wish good for others. That's his nature. So definitely Krishna has a plan. And at that moment, if you know, because you see, we are not on that stage where we get direct reciprocation from Krishna. So at that moment, we should immediately take shelter of the representatives, you know, of our mentors or counselors or elders or seniors or Vaishnavas, and then take their help. Because sometimes at that particular moment, you're so vulnerable and you are so, your faith is a little fragile because of the situation you are put in. And at that time, you may have so many things in your mind, so immediately take shelter of somebody else and then hear something nice, and then, you know, and then immediately your mind will be, you know, again, yeah, yes, everything will be fine. So you need that support. So at that time, just take shelter of, you know, if not Krishna, because at this moment you are angry with Krishna, take shelter of devotees of Krishna. You know, this is what see, there's nothing wrong. You can get angry on Krishna, you can get upset with him, you can, only thing is,
Don't leave him. That's all. What Narad Muni says, you can be envious of Krishna, you can be angry on Krishna, you can love him, you can have lust for him, you can have greed, you can have all those things, but only Krishna. He is a monopoly God. Only him. And that's it. Everything will be fine. So sometimes if you are angry with him, take shelter of his devotees. Sometimes not that. Sometimes him, sometimes devotees. But just stay in that, stay in the inside the circle. Don't get out of this circle. That should be the whole focus. At that moment, you may not be able to focus on the nice things that Krishna is nice to me. But somehow stay inside the circle. Don't go out of the circle. Take shelter of the devotees. Okay, I hope it helps you. How many questions are there more, Prabhu? How many questions are there more? Two hands, okay. No, that's accordingly, I'll make my answers shorter. Okay. Okay, let me see if I got your question right. You're saying that when I'm chanting my japa, then I think about so many other things. But when I'm not chanting, then I may think of Krishna. That's what you said? Not necessarily thinking about Krishna? Okay, let me see if I get your question. So you are saying that when I'm chanting, so many negative things come about somebody, something, some situation. So how do I stop and focus on my chanting? Okay, see, when you are in a battle, in a war, the two opposite sides, they are fighting. What does this side, if they want to defeat this opposite party, what they need to do is they need to find out what's their weakness and then attack at that place, then they can win over the fight. So when we are chanting, we're actually fighting with Maya. So Maya is very smart. So she will see what's your weak point, and she will fight with that right weapon at the right time. So as soon as Maya sees that now you're trying to get closer to Krishna and you want to do nice chanting, so now Maya will analyze what's his weak point. His weak point is this person, and that particular negative emotion. So definitely she's going to bring all those right weapons to fight with you. She's not going to bring those thoughts which will help you to chant, because that's her job. There's a fight between us and Maya. So fine, let it happen, but we take more and more shelter of Krishna, and gradually the thoughts will go. When we are chanting, we should do only three things. We just chant loudly, and we hear attentively, and we pronounce properly. That's all we focus. Forget about what thoughts are coming and what thoughts are not coming. It'll come. Thoughts will come because so much crowd is there. But we still continue. And of course, I gave one class specifically on that. Have you added salt in your chanting? S-A-L-T. And you can go through that, where I was giving steps on how go one by one. Don't make big plans. Oh, I'll have my perfect 16 rounds today. You don't have to go. You can start with, oh, I will chant 10 holy names today perfectly. That's my goal. That's all. Rest of my rounds, I don't know how it will happen. But this 10 names, I'll hear properly. I'll chant loudly, attentively. I'm going to do a good job. Start with that. And then from 10, you bring it to 18 and 20 and 108 and then one round, and it will gradually happen. If sometimes you make big plans, it fails, then we feel... See, our mind is like that. It needs encouragement. If you said, I'm going to have best of my 16 rounds, then it doesn't happen. And mind feels disappointed because you failed. Then next day also mind starts with that disappointment only. Yesterday also I tried, nothing happens. Always like this. My chanting is hopeless. You start with a bad mood. But if you keep small goals, then your mind will start with joyous mood. Yesterday I decided that I'll have my 10 names and I did it. Today also I'm going to do it. So start like that. Start small, 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 and then make it big like that. And that's about it. Don't worry so much about thoughts that are coming in. whatever thoughts are coming, they will go. Only thing is, you shouldn't stop chanting. You check. Sometimes people think that I'm chanting and thinking simultaneously. It doesn't happen like that. When you start thinking, you have already stopped chanting at one point. You're not even realizing you have stopped. Your lips have stopped and you have gotten deep into the thought. Simultaneously, it will not happen. You know, so it's like that. So don't worry, you continue and you continue. It's like that, like the pilot. He takes the flight and almost all the time the flight goes this way, that when he again brings it back and he again brings it back. Like that. But of course, all said and done, there are certain tips. That's what I've given in that class, you know, how you can eat well, you know, what is required and how you sleep on the right times and how you have a nice place which inspires you while you are chanting, the right picture of Krishna, the right atmosphere, the right time of the day, you know, if you're well rested, and so many factors will be there, and then you'll have a nice chant. And just before chanting, if you have read something very nice or you have heard something very inspiring about holy name, mind has to be given, you know, bribed. Or if you talk about what happens when somebody chants holy name, and then you see all that, what you are going to get, those awards, you know, what will happen, that will also inspire you. Oh, if I have nice chanting, I'll get this, because mind always asking, what will you get in this? What will you get? What is there in store for you? So you have to tell, oh, you're getting this, you're getting, my memory will increase, this will happen, that will happen. So like that. So many such things you can, you know, plan around, have a place where you chant every day, same place, so that as soon as you go to that place, you get into the mood. Just like we have our study table, we study, you know, the moment you sit there, you get in the mood for studying or your workplace or something like that. There should be a place for everything, even our chanting. There should be a place. When we sit here, we are completely into the Krishna mood. And of course, before and after what you do is also very important. So like that. And you shouldn't worry so much about, you know, what thoughts are coming, and forget about them and keep continue. Make sure that you are chanting regularly on same particular time, and you are completing your rounds, and you are doing it loudly. This helps a lot. When you are doing it loud and you are hearing it, you are chanting loudly and you are hearing attentively. Chanting loudly, hearing attentively, and pronouncing correctly. It should be proper pronunciation. This should not go like that. It should go properly. These three things you do automatically, you will get so engrossed. Oh, I have to pronounce properly. Oh, did I hear or not? The thoughts will fly away. Okay, so what else? How many questions more? Okay, after this, one last one and we'll close it, Prabhu. Okay, so I'll answer in English so that everybody else is benefited. So you said that there are so many things that come from different other sources, and how do we make sure that they don't stay for us, stay in our mind for long? So yeah, that the Gigo principle, you have to be careful. Garbage in, garbage out. So we have to be careful what we are taking in. We should be very picky, very limited, and we should not allow everything to go in, you know. We should not treat ourselves as public dustbins, you know. Public dustbins, they have this, you know, use me, they put it on the dustbin. And we should not be always open to, you know, unnecessary things. We should not take them, because even if they don't stay with you for a long time, they definitely leave the trace. And then again, it takes so much time in, you know, cleaning it out. So we should be very careful. We have to restrain ourselves. You know, nobody can help us in that. We have to be very picky on what we want to do, what kind of people we want to associate. We are so particular about the water we drink. You know, it's a mineral water, it's clean, otherwise it will cause infection. Similarly, we should be very particular about whom we are associating, what we are seeing, what we are hearing. You know, we have to be careful. Whom are we lending our mind, our ears, our eyes? And see, scriptures can show us the mirror, and in the mirror we can see the hair is like this or the hair is like that. The scriptures can show mirror, but again, making the hair proper is our job. That scriptures can't do. That's our individual effort has to be there. They can just show us where it's wrong and you need to correct it. So now, since we know, we should lay down certain rules in our life. this I don't hear, this I don't associate it, this I don't do, if we are serious in Krishna consciousness. But we can't leave ourselves free, unrestricted to any kind of content and then think, why is my mind not cooperating? So, you know, you will have to take that effort and, you know, make sure we don't engage in unnecessary things if we are serious about going back home, back to Godhead. And once they have already in, then only process is we clean. That's it. If the garbage is inside, we start cleaning. Cleaning happens when you chant. When you chant, mind should be engaged in chanting. Intelligence should be engaged in hearing scriptures. False ego should be engaged in serving Vaishnavas. That way, the mind, ego, intelligence gets purified. Okay. Okay, last question. Yes. Oh my God. That's why I'm afraid of the questions by children. They ask questions which are so difficult. Okay. How do I become a good preacher? You're speaking very well actually. You have, let, can I see you? You have so much confidence. So, where's this young man? Let me see you. What's your name? Okay. Okay, so how do you become a good preacher? Whatever you have heard, okay, I give you one tip. Okay, now there may be so many things here. Let me give you one tip. Whatever you hear, you talk. You tell others about it. And then, you know, you will never forget it. So, whatever you have... you hear, you repeat it to your mom or to, you know, other people. You repeat it and that will stay for you for a long time. And then you, that way you will be able to speak well and your confidence will improve and your vocabulary will improve and you will be able to retain it and pray to Krishna. And if you want to be, if you want to work for somebody in a company, you need to speak to the boss. Can you hire me? Then the boss will hire, gives you appointment letter. We want to work for Krishna. We want to be his distributors of his knowledge, of his mercy, of his compassion. If we want to become a salesman or a distributor in his company, we need to get sanctioned from him. So the first and foremost thing is you pray to Krishna, that yes, Krishna, I want to be in your army, I know, and I want to be one of your preachers. And the other practical tip is, apart from the, you know, praying, practice. So even if he gives you the appointment letter, you'll have to make yourself capable. And for that, you practice. So whatever you hear, you keep repeating. And that way... I like you too. Okay. Yes, I pray to Srila Prabhupada and Shri Radha Damodar for you, young man, that you can become good preacher. Okay? Thank you. Okay. Yeah, 10 years is big now. You know, I'm seeing nowadays 5 or 6 year old children also giving so good classes. You know, I gave my first Bhagavatam class in ISKCON Hyderabad when I was in class 7. I think that was what, I was maybe 13 years old, class 7. And I used to think, oh, I gave a class at such a young age and now I'm, you know, oh my God, even 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds are giving such wonderful class, you know. I am ashamed that way they are speaking. So, yeah, so 10 is, according to the recent standard, is quite big. You can start giving classes and, you know, you chant and you hear from your parents and you repeat whatever you have understood. Okay. Thank you. Prabhu, shall we end it here? Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage, sab Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage, sab Krishna.